We're in a sermon series called The Beautiful Work of Learning to Pray. And I got this title from a book from James Howe. It's really an introduction to prayer. And this morning is an encouragement. It's an invitation to pray maybe in a deeper way or a closer way, a maybe more relaxed way of praying. A way of sort of opening ourselves up to a God who is already there waiting for us to come to God in prayer. Something shifted for me a few years ago. It was actually 15 years ago now. I began a time in working with youth, in youth ministry. And I had never done that before, and I wanted to be the best youth director I could be, and I wanted to learn about it, and I had all these questions about youth ministry, and some of them were process, you know, some of them were how to grow the group, you know, how to retain the kids, how to keep them interested, how to teach them to pray, those kind of things. But really, prayer wasn't my main focus. I had the questions, and I went to this seminar. I remember, like it was yesterday, I was waiting on a time to ask the questions, and it seemed like we weren't really covering what I wanted to learn about. And so I remember raising my hand and finally asking my question. You know, well, should I split up the junior high and senior high? You know, it seems like they want to be together in different places, different ways, and what do you think? And I remember the leader, the facilitator of the training. He looked at me and he kind of nodded and he said, "Let's take some time today and pray about that." And I remember feeling so disappointed. You see, it was kind of like he said, "Well, buddy, just do the best you can do." And I wanted real specific stuff. And yet, I entered into a time of prayer. And I learned about contemplative prayer, prayers of just being with God. We lit a candle. We breathed deeply. We tried to be in the moment. We learned things that I love happened here on Tuesday. I'm seeing my friend Dixie out there entering into something called centering prayer, where a group of people are quiet together, reflecting on a word or phrase that rises to the surface. We prayed prayers with the scripture. We drew and spent time with God. And I came back to the youth group without any of the answers that I was looking for, but something shifted in me where my role was no longer this anxious guy who was trying to create this big, awesome youth program that the kids would love and invite their friends to, and they'd have a lot of fun. It became the work of centering ourselves, the work of noticing that God was already there, being present for one another, deeply listening to one another. And it was so relieving. It's kind of stayed with me ever since, this idea of prayer being something more than even words that we say. I'm reminded of a song that I learned right about that time. I sang it when I first got here. It's a song of opening up. And if you would, just imagine that you have closed fists. If you would close your fist really tightly, and then take three deep breaths, and then slowly open them up. Three deep breaths. And this song is a prayer, and there are three verses to help us to open up. One, the first one is, "Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see your face." The second one is like it. "Open my ears, Lord, help me to hear your voice." "Open my ears, Lord, help me to hear." The third verse is a little deeper. "Open my heart, Lord, help me to love like you." And the unique thing about this prayer is that The fourth verse is an answer. It's a response. It's the assurance that God is with us. And it is, I am within you. Deep in your heart, O love, I am within you. Rest now in me. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see. Open my ears, Lord. Help me to hear your voice. Open my ears, Lord. Help me to hear. Open my heart, Lord. Help me to love like you. Open my heart, Lord. Help me to love. I am within you. Deep in your heart, oh love, I am within you. Rest now in me. We are all uniquely gifted and also uniquely challenged when it comes to prayer. I really love learning about contemplative prayer and prayers that help us to be quiet and to be still. And it's not because I'm good at it. It's in fact the exact opposite. It's because I need it. I am a fidgety guy. You might have picked that up already. It's hard for me to be still. It's hard for me to be not productive, to spend time just with God and to relax into that. It's not, it doesn't feel like my first natural response, but it's something that I need, and maybe you do too. Something that I have to practice, and I have to be really aware, especially of times when I'm not in that prayer. And I resonate deeply with that scripture that Pastor Jermaine lifted up last week, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. And the hope is that that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. I think sometimes we're praying before we even know it. But it's also something that we can learn, that we can grow into, that can shift in us and change as we learn more about it and as we practice it. We are opening our lives up together. And sometimes it's really hard for us to do that. It feels vulnerable. Whenever we are in worship, and I noticed this several years ago when I didn't grow up this way. When I was a Methodist back in my childhood, in my teens, we didn't really pray with our arms lifted up very much. Maybe somebody would, but not me. And sometimes I would kind of go halfway, like, hey, was it this way? And a couple of things about that. I asked a friend of mine when I came back to church. He was in youth ministry too, and he would always pray like this. And I said, why do you pray like that? And he said, well, I have these little kids, and sometimes they don't even say anything to me or daddy or anything. They just give me this signal. There it is. And we all know what this means. It means pick us up. I want to be with you. I want to be here. And years after that, I realized that this is also a posture of being very vulnerable. Like, if I do this, somebody could punch me in the ribs with their closed fist, right? They're doing this. That's a posture of vulnerability before God. Whatever you're, you know, whenever you do that, it's interesting to think about opening up and how really for us it's really easy to go through life with closed fists. To think about it and how you come from one place to the other. You know, some people are much more aggressive drivers than others, and they're cutting off, and you stay in the lane that looks like it's going to turn all the way until you have to punch into the line, right beside you? And I think we sometimes approach prayer that way too, you know, when really it's a chance to be open, to be real. God, this is really what's going on. Opening up our lives and trusting our lives to a God that knows us, that already knows all the hairs in our head. The psalmist said that God knitted us together in our mother's womb. I think about that. My mom's here today. Knit together? My mother's womb. This Psalm 139, O Lord, you are behind and before me. You lay your hand upon me. Whenever I read that this week, I got this wonderful image of my two boys. Whenever I mention them in a sermon, I owe them a quarter. But so 50 cents right here, this story. They sometimes walk together, and they'll be talking about a game or something, and it was really neat to observe as a dad. The oldest one will put his arm on the shoulder of the younger one as he's explaining the game. Almost involuntary. There they are, and hey, and then they're just walking along together, and the younger one's like, oh, this is cool, together with my big brother, and the big brother's arm's on his shoulder, and they're just walking along. How long are they going to walk like that? I don't know. Walking around the block like that, catching Pokemon here in different people's yards. That's what they're doing. And it's the coolest thing to see. And I think about in our prayer life how you can imagine going to God in prayer and God's arm on your shoulder, hand right there, just moving along with you. I love that image. And then this image of you lay, like there's nowhere I can go that you're not already there. If I take the wings of morning, even there your right hand shall hold me. Anybody ever taken the wings of morning? Wonder what the psalmist is talking about there. Such an interesting image. I read a lot about it and what that could actually mean. And when the sun comes up, there's this light that goes on both sides of the sun as it comes up, really beautiful. And that was, the ancient folks would say that was the wings of morning. If I take the wings of morning. But when I read this, I think about being a morning person. Anybody a morning person out there? Okay, yeah. Three people in my family are not morning people. I am a morning person, and one of my children are morning people. My youngest son's a morning guy. And we wake up, and we're like, oh, woo, this is great. And the other ones are like, oh, coffee. Yeah. And so I think when I read this, I think, oh, take the wings of the morning, this special time that you might have with God, this intimate time. But I also thought this week about the wings of the morning being really literal. Has anybody ever taken an airplane, a flight at like 5 a.m.? The wings of the morning, 5 a.m. And I think a lot about the idea that you really don't have to do anything. You just have to show up. You know, you got to, I guess, go show them your ID and go get your bags checked in. But then when you get on the plane, all you have to do is sit there, and then you can fall asleep. The plane's going to take off by itself. It's going to land by itself. You know, when you take the wings of the morning, it's a very passive kind of thing. There's not a lot you need to do. You just have to wake up when you land and then get off the plane. When I see that, I'm struck by the active verbs here. And it's all on God's side that you can just be in this. You do the work of showing up. And God is not just waiting for you when you get there. The verbs here are very active. God is seeking you out. God is searching for you. From the very beginning pages of the Bible, God is searching for the people, right? The original sinners are hiding naked in the garden, and God's walking in the cool of the evening, and he asks one of the first questions, the first question in the Bible, where are you, my children? God is searching and seeking us, waiting for us to show up and to be ourselves. When it comes to being ourselves, there's this wonderful instruction that Jesus gives. And you can imagine the context. The people are praying out loud in the streets, or the Pharisees are praying, and it's kind of a big spectacle or a show. This is kind of what prayer might have looked like at the time. It's some guy with a big beard, and he's praying. Maybe he's reading out of a book, and that was prayer. And Jesus is encouraging folks to be themselves and to come into this intimate space. I love the Message translation of this. Matthew 6:6, the instruction, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there, simply and honestly as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. We're tempted sometimes to role play before God. I have a dear friend of mine. I told some folks this. If you've heard this before, I apologize. I had a dear friend of mine who was talking about how he needed to be a leader in his family when it comes to prayer. And his wife, he and his wife had gotten into a big argument, and he was very angry. And he says, she wants me to pray, but I'm so angry. I don't want to pray. I can't pray. So maybe your prayer would start off, God, I'm so angry. I'm having trouble praying. Start your prayer like that. Pray what's in you, whatever that is. It's God, I'm not feeling connected to you right now. God, draw close. Help me to see your face here. God, I don't see it. Maybe that's your honest prayer. Whatever it is, it's coming into an awareness that God is already here, already with us in those things. God, I'm scared about this. Or God, I don't have it all together here. Or maybe it's God, I don't know how to help in this place over here. Or God, I'm really needing some comfort here or encouragement here. We pray what's really within us, and be yourself when you do it. You know, I grew up hearing prayers from people that I looked up to, and I think there's a beautiful thing to that. You know, we learn sometimes by observing, and we learn from people around us sometimes that are praying. I learned so much from my grandfather. And I remember how he would pray. And when I was a little kid, I remember praying and thinking, I don't have the faith that he has. The strength of faith that he has. My faith is really small. His seems to be so robust. And I remember praying one time when I was little, God, I pray this with my grandfather's faith. But as I've grown older, I realized that really shifted, because my grandfather's faith is my faith. And it's not a faith that he had so much as a faith in who he had faith in. The focus shifts to God. And because we share that same faith in God, who is there, always with us. That was the being yourself in prayer. To take our little faith and joining it with the little faith of someone else. That's why we're in church. You know, I think individually we're at our best when we're intentional about praying. When during our day we think about prayer a whole lot, and it's not so much a one way or the other that we pray. Sometimes it's reading scripture, sometimes it's words that we remember that we say. Sometimes it's the Lord's Prayer and what that might mean. Sometimes it's just a time to focus, to be quiet. Whatever it is, that we open ourselves up somehow to that. We lay our lives before God in that way. But I also think it's true that when a church prays for one another, when we pray together, when we join our little faith together, then that matters. that we're at our best. We hear that echo in the book of Acts when the church is at its best, and we catch this glimpse at the end of Acts chapter 2 when the church is at its best. It's dedicated to the prayers, to the teachings, to the breaking of bread, to the sharing our lives together. That's when we're at our very best. And so today, as we remember these things, and as we're encouraged to go a little deeper in our prayers, to be intentional this week, to pray the Psalms, to bless the Lord with what we do.